Welcome to the Motherhood Unfiltered podcast. We are a group of moms striving to bring balance to motherhood with lots of laughs and some tears along the way. We seek to walk alongside you in this journey as we learn and grow from one another.
Hello, friends of Motherhood Unfiltered. It's Brittany, and on this podcast today, we will be talking about balancing health in motherhood. Today, we have Vanessa, one of my best friends, joining us. She was a former athlete in high school and a kinesiology major in college, so she's very familiar with health science and the body. We've gotten to be a part of each other's lives through our single years, through our dating years. We were in each other's weddings, and now we've gotten to watch each other dive into motherhood about the same time as well. Vanessa is a mommy to an adorable 1.5-year-old boy named Jeremiah, who's actually becoming more and more of a big boy these days, and it's crazy to see how fast time flies. It's true what they say, the days are long, but the years are short, I'm sure, for her as well. Vanessa is someone that I look up to and admire as a wife, mom, and woman of God. Thank you, Vanessa, so much for joining us today and giving us your time.
Well, thank you for having me. I feel really honored that you had invited me to come and speak with your listeners, and I'm really excited to discuss with you guys, just a little bit about my health journey and navigating motherhood at the same time.
Thank you again for being here. Vanessa, as all of us moms learned super quickly, that is that motherhood looks different for each of us, especially in the beginning. And I know for you specifically, because I got to be somewhat close to your journey in all of this, I know that there were some obstacles that you faced during your pregnancy, and even some life-altering changes that you faced literally from the day you gave birth. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about what that looked like for you in learning about your own health and balancing health and motherhood?
Okay, so I guess my journey, you could say, actually began well before I became pregnant with Jeremiah. You could say my journey began back when I was in high school, actually, I would say. When I was younger, I was involved in track. I played basketball, but my main sport was track. And so that was a big focus in my life for many, many years. And through that, being an athlete, it inspired me to pursue a career in kinesiology. And so for many people, that's kind of a big word. And so basically, that is just the study of human movement. And when I was in college and getting into my degree, I really focused on the human body and what I can do to better myself through health and fitness. And so I guess you can say my journey started there. And through that journey, I've got to work in a variety of places. And one of the biggest places I feel like that has developed my personal and professional background is working with people with disabilities and just seeing their day-to-day lives and not knowing how much of an impact that it would play into my life in the future and what I'm dealing with now. And so prior to getting pregnant with my son, Jeremiah, I had actually had to have hip surgery. And so after I had hip surgery, I was pretty much out of commission for about 6 months. But once I got cleared to do anything, I found out I was actually pregnant with Jeremiah. And so that kind of took me for a loop as far as getting back into the physical shape that I was before prior.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a big shock to me because we weren't really planning on getting pregnant at the time, but it happened and it kind of just took us for a big surprise.
Yeah.
As many women, I know that a lot of times their pregnancies may not be planned. So I know a lot of people can kind of relate to that aspect
Yeah.
of that. So
sometimes we're not in the ultimate shape that we wanted to be in when we got pregnant.
Right? Exactly. And so through that, that kind of made me realize the big importance and seriousness of pregnancy. And so when I got pregnant, I dealt with a lot of morning sickness. And so with that being said, I would just eat whatever I wanted, not really worrying about it because, you know, it's kind of expected for a woman to gain some weight during pregnancy. So I was like, okay, who cares? You know, I'm eating for two. I'll just eat whatever I want.
And you knew how to be healthy. So once the time came, you know, you knew you could get yourself back in shape.
Yeah. So most definitely. But I didn't realize how hard it was going to be on my body. And so when I got into my third trimester, I was actually dealing with high blood pressure. And so dealing with that high blood pressure, I didn't realize how serious it was during pregnancy. So I was diagnosed with preeclampsia at 32 weeks during my pregnancy. And once I got diagnosed with preeclampsia, that kind of took me, myself, and my husband in kind of a big loop because I didn't realize how serious it was. And so the doctor had told me, all right, well, your blood pressure is too high and your body is not functioning the way that it should. So we want to admit you to the hospital. So being barely 32 weeks, you can understand that, wow, I have 8 more weeks to go, but the doctor's telling me that I need to be hospitalized.
Yeah, and it was actually like right after your baby shower. Like I think we threw your baby shower like a couple days before all of that.
Yeah, so I think I had my baby shower and then like 2 days later, my doctor calls me and was like, you need to be admitted to the hospital as soon as possible. So that was kind of scary in a sense. But then that's kind of where I kind of realized that it was really important for me to have taken care of myself during that time because you are growing a human being, but you're also trying to take care of yourself so that you can be there for your baby once it's born.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of women can relate to this as well because preeclampsia is one of those health conditions that's just become a growing issue even throughout the United States. I think the statistics are as high as 8 to 10% of pregnant women being diagnosed with preeclampsia.
Yeah, so as a woman, you probably have heard plenty of stories of women talking about their experience with preeclampsia.
Yeah.
And so with preeclampsia, if it gets really bad, the doctors will advise you to be under constant medical care. And so that's kind of what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And through that journey, you know, it was very tough for me. And not only because I had to stay in the hospital for, you know, an extended amount of time, but it also, I realized that it was going to have an effect on my son, Jeremiah. And with that being said, I delivered him at 34 weeks and he was only 4 pounds and 3 ounces. He was so tiny. He was very tiny when he came out, very small.
It was scary.
It was very scary.
Yeah.
To see your child hooked up to monitors and being, you know, under constant medical care. Because as a baby, they can't verbally say what's wrong. And as a mom, you can't be there 24/7 to make sure everything is going right. So that's something that's scary within itself.
Yeah. You were dealing with a lot. I remember that was just kind of a really chaotic experience for you and for your husband and for your your parents, your support system, you know, like just it really, it took its toll, I think, on your whole support system. Yeah. And then you kind of being the center of the whole experience, I know it just had a lot of effects on your mental and emotional health, and then especially your physical health too.
Yeah, most definitely. So once I had given birth to him, you know, it's expected to have complications, possibilities of complications after you given birth, especially if you're dealing with high blood pressure.
Right.
And so when I look back, I just remember that one of my main symptoms that I was having was blurry vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know anything about preeclampsia, that is one sign of high blood pressure. And so after I had given birth, the doctor, it went on for like 3 days, almost 2 to 3 days after. And so I told my OBGYN, and I told him, I'm like, hey, I still can barely read the poster right on the wall, and before I could read it. And so that was kind of concerning to him. So he recommended that I get a neurology consult. And so that same day, the neurologist came in, and she was like, well, you know what? I see that you're having a blurry vision. How about we just do an MRI just to be on the safe side? Because we don't want to, we want to make sure that you didn't have a stroke. And so that's another symptom of preeclampsia, that it's progressed. Mm-hmm. Is you could have neurological defects like having a stroke. And so
even hearing that is so scary. Like,
yeah. So I really didn't want to do the MRI, to be honest with you. I had been in the hospital going on 3 days post delivery. So at this point,
but in total, you had been there for over 2 weeks, was it? You were already there for a while.
Yeah, so I was already there for 2 weeks, and then plus I was there for like an additional 2 more days at this point. So, and then at the time it was Thanksgiving. We're coming up on the holidays, and I just wanted to be home on Thanksgiving. And so I was kind of reluctant. And so the nurse assured me, was like, well, you know what? Go ahead, get the MRI, and just so that, you know, everything is okay. And so I get the MRI that night. The doctor calls, and she tells me my results. And she tells me, wow, we see a lesion on your brain. And then we also see a thing called optic neuritis, which is blurry vision. And it's very common in a condition called multiple sclerosis, or also MS. And so when she mentioned the words MS, like, that broke my heart. And
yeah,
to be honest with you, I told the nurse, I'm like, why does this have to happen to me? I just spent 2 weeks in the hospital. My son is now in the NICU, and now you're telling me that I have MS.
Yeah.
And so the nurse told me, she was like, it's okay. You know, relax, calm down. It's not for certain. Focus on getting healthy and focus on your baby.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did.
Sounds like a really kind nurse too, to be able to.
Yeah. I was very thankful, because I've had all the nurses that I was there were very awesome, and they were very nurturing and very reassuring in every step of the way. So that's what I really was thankful for.
Yeah.
So after that,
and when she said multiple sclerosis as like a possibility, what did your mind go to right away?
To be honest with you, from my background, I actually had a client that I was training back in college, and I was training her and she had multiple sclerosis.
So it sounds like you had some interactions previously with multiple sclerosis. Was that your only interaction, or did you already kind of know like what that might look like for some people?
So I have an aunt, and one of her best friends from high school was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when she was in her early 20s. So immediately I went to thinking of that because she was confined to a wheelchair. Mm. And all I could think about is, oh my goodness, that is going to be in my life.
Oh, and what an image to have, like, in your mind, even days after having your new baby. Like such a joyful moment, and then led by, and then followed up by such a daunting moment as well, really.
Yes, most definitely. And so when I found out that, you know, the doctor was saying MS, all I could think about was, how am I going to raise my son if I cannot even take care of myself? He is only a few days old, and he needs my undivided attention, and what I'm going to do. And of course, I have my husband, but as a mom, you have those instincts and you want to be there for your child every step of the way.
Right.
And at that time, I just did not see it happening.
Hmm.
And so with that, that kind of honed me into just thinking about, okay, what can I do to make sure that I can be there for my son? And what's the things that I can control? And so that's where I really have come to think about a lot is, how can I balance motherhood, and how can I also navigate getting back to my health?
And yeah, I think a lot of moms have that question, because we lose so much of ourselves or our health in pregnancy. Maybe not everyone, like some moms may just be really disciplined, but I think a lot of us struggle with that. And for you, it wasn't just a struggle, it was a necessity. So you had this like immediate need of taking care of a premature baby, and then you had this immediate need of taking your own health into your hands again. Like, it was like a double whammy for you. So you had to really prioritize both from the beginning, and I'm sure that was very overwhelming for you. But how did you do that, and what were some misconceptions that you felt were out there in trying to prioritize your health as a mom?
I think a lot of times, especially for new moms and even moms that have children that are maybe even 8 or 9 years old, is we feel that sometimes we can lose ourselves through becoming a mom. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, I felt like from the moment I got pregnant, I felt like I started to lose myself in that sense, because like I said, you know, I was an athlete in high school. I got my degree in kinesiology.
Well, not only were you an athlete in high school, but also you were such a dedicated athlete that you had even been offered scholarships for college. So like, just to kind of dive a little deeper into like your health prior, you didn't just like walk away from, you know, maybe your normal exercise routine. But you were so dedicated at one point that you were even like viewed as an athlete by universities that wanted you to compete for them, you know. So to go from that must have really fed into like feeling a loss of identity, not just in your healthy lifestyle, but as the athlete that you were in your younger years.
Yeah, most definitely. I felt like, I'm like, sometimes I used to think like, man, why did I let myself go? And when I mean, why did I let myself go? I mean, like, why did I let myself get so far away from what I used to be? Mm-hmm. And especially, I felt like I even moved even further away after my pregnancy and beginning my journey in motherhood. I felt like I really had come so far just to all kind of let it go. And yeah. So for me, I felt like that was kind of like one of my biggest struggles. And two, like not feeling good enough. I know plenty of moms could say that they feel exactly the same way. And a lot of times you always hear this saying like, you know, mothers, they sometimes kind of tend to let themselves go. Or you may hear somebody kind of say a snark remark to, you know, someone saying, oh, well, she used to be so beautiful. She used to be a model. She used to be this, but she had three kids and she decided to let herself go. And now she is overweight and doesn't take care of herself. And so as a mom, you constantly hear that. You hear people say that. I'm like, oh, wow, she packed on a few pounds. And when you hear stuff like that, you're like, wow, like it's very hurtful to hear that.
Yeah.
Especially when you become a mom, because becoming a mom is so beautiful. But then at the same time, you're also struggling with not only taking care of someone else, but then you are, your body changes so much.
Yeah.
You're dealing with hormonal changes. You're dealing with changes within your marriage. And I feel like when you do decide to want to take that step in the right direction to make yourself feel good, I feel like moms all too often feel like if they do decide to do that, that they are less of a mom when it comes to wanting to eat right, take care of our bodies, get a good amount of sleep, and get a good amount of physical activities. I feel that there's so many moms that feel like that they have become lesser if they do decide that.
Yeah.
Also, besides feeling lesser, I feel that a lot of women feel that we kind of have to fade to black, in a sense, fade away once we decide to have children. And many of us are in our late 20s and we're in our 30s. So we're kind of like at that prime spot in our lives. Like many of us have already finished our degrees. We may have already been in our careers for a couple of years. So we're, you know, we're kind of like that sweet spot in our lives. And then, you know, you throw in children into the equation. And so that kind of changes everything. But, you know, many women today have flourishing careers. We have deep interests. And, you know, we also have passions. And our passions are now could be for our family. It could be even outside passions. And I think that's what's so beautiful, that we still are thriving people and taking the time to follow our dreams and our passions will not detract us from our abilities as totally loving mothers. And so that even though we are into our motherhood, it doesn't mean that we have to put everything on the back burner and forget about ourselves. Yeah. And I think it's really important to kind of sometimes, in a sense, tend to our own happiness and in order to attend to our kids.
Yeah.
Because in my view, that if we're tending to our own happiness, then we're also creating happier children and a happier husband and an overall happier environment. We feel better about ourselves. And I think as women, we shouldn't think of ourselves as lesser if we do decide to take back our health and to get back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, even I know like in the beginning of taking our health back, sometimes it can be a little bit more exhausting, or changing up our diet can, you know, lead to maybe some mood swings in the beginning as our body kind of detoxes from some stuff. But, you know, after we get past those initial phases of getting into a healthier lifestyle, it does lead to not only being happier because we feel better, but then from that happiness and that happiness in the environment that we're living in, our focus is like our priorities have refocused, then that's going to also help in our children's, you know, childhood memories, knowing that their house wasn't just full of like feeling sluggish all the time and living unhealthy lifestyle, like making unhealthy lifestyle choices, but remembering their childhood being full of activities and memories and excitement and happiness and joy in the home. And it does really have a lot to do with living a healthy lifestyle. It reminds me of the saying, more is caught than taught. And that's so true, especially with children. And I think a lot of times in raising kids, we think like we got to keep them like entertained and happy and laughing all the time. But sometimes that more is caught than taught might apply in a healthy lifestyle. Like maybe our kid wants us to pick them up and hold them, but if we put them in the stroller and they can see us going for a walk, or they can see us, you know, choosing to do a YouTube stretching video for some time, they're going to pick up on those healthy choices. Or if they see us eating more fresh produce, whole foods, they're going to see us doing that. And that's going to become a part of their life, more than just us making sure that we constantly are like in their face entertaining them. They're just going to pick up on our life choices and our lifestyle. So Vanessa, that leads me to our final question of what's some advice that you would have for a mom, maybe a mom in pregnancy, or even someone who is wanting to become pregnant, someone who is postpartum, or maybe a mom that's been a mom for a while and that's wanting to take back their health, or maybe they never were on top of their health and they're just wanting to start for the first time living a healthy lifestyle. What would be some of your advice for someone?
So I would advise moms that kind of want to get back into their health and, you know, begin their journey is, one way is that it's just starting and just doing. Yeah. And of course, there's never going to be a good time. There's always going to be a bad time to start. There's always going to be obstacles in our way. But I feel that if you just start, that is where it begins.
So put your tennis shoes on, huh?
Yeah. So it may be, for me, what I'm learning now that we're also in quarantine is, okay, just put on your workout clothes, put on your tennis shoes. Take the time, if your kid is taking a nap, to go ahead, turn on that YouTube video, take the time to just do it. And that's one of the first things I would advise moms that want to start. Just start. And another thing is, too, is when I was in school, they would say 80% of your goals in your health journey is going to be within the kitchen. Yeah. And the other 20% is going to be within your actual physical activities. And that's kind of dependent on your fitness levels.
Yeah.
But
Carol from church, she's also a friend of ours from church, and she's really into healthy living. And she says a 6-pack starts in the kitchen is what her health coach tells her. She's like, how do I get a 6-pack? And he tells her the 6-pack starts in the kitchen. And it's like, but I want to eat the cupcakes and still have a 6-pack after giving birth.
Yeah, most definitely. And so one of those ways, and I think everyone kind of struggles with this one, and it's not just women, it's that we also have to stick to, I don't like to say a diet, but I think that's the best way to kind of say it, is when you are choosing a diet, whatever it is that you're going to stick to, it's you have to pick something that's sustainable and that you can turn into a lifestyle. Yeah. So if you don't see yourself being on keto for, say, a long time, then I would not recommend that. Or even if right. it's, say, like paleo, sometimes you may not be able to sustain that. You may like other things that you feel like may help you keep on track. So that's really important. Just
figuring out what works for you and your family and in your place in life, right?
Yeah, so most definitely. So if that is consistent of you tracking your macronutrients, then you do that because that's what helps you. Or if you're more of like an intuitive eater, then that works for you. So that's kind of one thing that I really want to emphasize, is that you want to choose something that you can make a lifestyle.
Yeah, kind of just adding on to making lifestyle choices. I know for Noe and I, we have not had like the healthiest lifestyle choices. And so with, you know, with this year, with the coronavirus coming up and really being challenged in so many ways to stay healthy and stay safe, we have really tried to focus on our eating to keep our immune systems up. And so just like a general rule of thumb for us in our lifestyle choices, we just have tried to make our grocery shopping focused in the produce section. So that was just like a way of like, if it's in the produce section, we can have it. Like that was like our like 100% let's fill the fridge like as much as possible with fresh produce, because then we know that we're getting like the most nutrient dense foods, we're getting the most vitamins in. And there might be people that maybe that doesn't work, maybe they like hate veggies, or they maybe they have to figure out another way to get those in. But for us, that was like just a really easy decision. That was like, it challenged us to have to learn how to cook new veggies or learn how to, you know.
Yeah, most definitely.
Incorporate new whole foods into our meal. And then we like would shop the, you know, dry goods and processed foods as like in addition to. So we weren't like totally depriving ourselves, because then it just like, it was just going to be way too big of a change for us. But we just tried to make like the majority of what we're putting in our bodies from the produce section in the store. And I know produce can become expensive. So we would a lot of times focus on like what was on sale. So like produce that's on sale, like that's what we're going to focus on this week. And then next week, whatever the next produce that's on sale.
Yeah, so most definitely. And kind of to segue off of that, like, it's also, I feel like it's also important to know that when you're in this journey, that guilt is useless.
Yeah. And
by what I say is that if you decide, say you're into your journey, you're into eating healthy, you're eating right, you're eating your whole foods, you're eating your grains, you're hitting all of your food groups, and all your macronutrients, it's okay to one day have that cupcake. It's okay right. to miss a workout because you have to, you know, tend to your child. It's okay.
Right.
Don't
right.
feel guilty about it, because that guilt is just going to be useless and it's going to eat you yourself up yeah. about it. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't be hard on yourself. Okay, today you right. ate the cupcake. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to go
enjoy the cupcake?
Enjoy it? Don't cry about it. You already ate it. So what are you going to do? Okay, the next day I'm going to get up. I'm going to go jogging. I'm going to have my lunch planned out. I'm going to have my dinner planned out and stay yeah. on track. And I think as people, as a whole, I feel like sometimes we say, well, I ate the cupcake and now I'm just going to throw my whole diet out the window. Right. So that's one thing I feel like as mothers, is that don't feel guilty. The guilt is going to be useless.
Yes.
Our focus is, okay, what are we going to do to strive to be better so that we can be better for our children?
I love that. Well, again, Vanessa, thank you so much for really going over the balance between a healthy lifestyle and motherhood. And from the information that you shared with us today, just, you know, in your own journey, it hasn't been an easy one for you. So I know we're hearing from someone that has had to apply these things in a really difficult situation. And I think that that can be encouraging maybe for some of us who have also had difficult situations in our health to know that it is possible to make these decisions to take back our health and balance a healthy lifestyle and motherhood again. Thank you so much to all of our Motherhood Unfiltered listeners and all of our friends out there for sitting with us in this space today as we discussed some health challenges and also dove into the balance between a healthy lifestyle and motherhood. Thank you so much, Vanessa, for giving us your time today and sharing your words of wisdom.
All right. Thank you for having me. It has been an honor to come and speak with your listeners. And I just want to let people know that we all deserve to be happy. We really, really do.
Yes. Yeah. And then I really appreciate you reminding our listeners in this podcast today to let that guilt go. And I know that sometimes motherhood can feel really lonely, especially when we're maybe struggling with our health on top of trying to balance motherhood. But we want to just give each of our listeners the opportunity to reach out to us, DM us, tag us if you want to, whatever you'd like to do to reach out to us, to know that you're not alone. We're here for you. If you reach out, we will reach back to you. And we want you just to feel included in a part of this Motherhood Unfiltered group that we have. We really are a community of moms that just want to encourage each other and watch each other grow in motherhood. So thank you again so much, Vanessa, and we look forward to having you back in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in with us. If you haven't already, we want to welcome you to connect with us on Instagram @_motherhoodunfiltered. Thanks again for joining us.